Okay. So tonight is going to be a little bit different, first of all, because I'm teaching, and that's not the goal of the pilot study. The pilot study is for me to see how other teachers interact with the material. So you guys are here, whether you're a teacher or a young woman coming to do the Bible study, as research, basically. That's why we're calling it a pilot study. And it's just a fancy word for the first takeoff of the of the curriculum. So this is very exciting. If could you raise your hand if you read the email I sent with like the history? Okay, about half of you. So just real quick, I sent out an email, just the background. It's been almost 2 years this week that we started the idea of this book. I was on vacation, I had like some clear moments of thought, and I was scribbling out some ideas and started sending them to Elena, and who's my idea bouncer offer. And she was like, great. And so for 2 years, we've basically been working hand in hand, putting together ideas, even the table of contents, what would be in it. Meg's been a huge part, like what could we teach? What is most important? And so we've been aiming for those goals in the last 2 years. And obviously there's only 15 lessons in the book and we've taught a whole lot more than that. But a lot of them kind of intermesh, especially as we've studied, last year we studied the duties of parents and the excellent wife this whole year. All that is just a part of this. So the workbook is designed for churches who need a way for their older women and younger women to connect. There are churches that are doing things like this, but some churches aren't, and they don't know where to start. And so back when we didn't know where to start, and the Lord allowed us to kind of figure out a way to make this group, we want to share that maybe with other churches that need a starting place. So this is the starting place, the jumping off spot, we call it, the conversation starters. And it's kind of funny, but we already started thinking about the next 15 lessons. So. But first things first. So this is Excellent Wife in Training, and we have an idea. When I say we, it's like Elaine and I, mainly, to have it come like this with a cover, and it'll be shrink-wrapped. And that's how it can be shipped and stuff. And the idea is for it to go inside a home management binder. That is the pre-chapter one, and we're going to talk briefly about that tonight. We're going to talk briefly about chapter one, which is laying the foundation, your time in the Word and prayer. And then we're going to briefly talk about chapter two, very briefly, covering this huge subject called spiritual disciplines. Because if you want to go more in depth than that, number one, you have the workbook to read it. Number two, the lessons are recorded online. Bev taught chapter one. Mary taught chapter two, so you can go listen to those. I got halfway through Mary's and I didn't get to finish, but I can barely scratch that tonight. And then the home management binder in the intro I did 3 months ago. So you can go listen to that stuff if you want. We're just gonna review tonight, and then next week we'll be on our way with chapter three. Any questions about any of that? Okay. Well, I would like to start with, what is an excellent wife? Oh, yes, Amber.
Being recorded.
Yes, but it's behind the password. So anytime we have a place at church where people ask questions, it's behind the password for your sake. But if you have a question you don't want on there, you can just ask it after.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to read from Proverbs 31, which is where we find the example of the excellent wife. Or the valiant wife is another definition. And in Proverbs 31:10, it says, "An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." And then if you skip down to verse 28, it says, "Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." And as we talked about in the Proverbs study, this is not a chapter of the Bible that's supposed to intimidate you or make you scared or to avoid. It's a picture that King Lemuel's mom was giving to her son for what to look for in a wife. So technically it wasn't written to you, but it was. Because all of Scripture is for you. And so we see just throughout this chapter, and I went over these words in Proverbs, but I just want to remind those of you who are there, or for those of you who weren't at Proverbs 31 study, what do we get out of this chapter? Because we're not planting vineyards, we're not spinning wool and flax, so how do we translate that today? And so we see in this chapter a woman who is exceptional, trustworthy, faithful, joyful, prudent, and others-centered. She's industrious, meek, grateful, hardworking, generous, prepared, modest, supportive, productive, pure, discerning, vigilant, praiseworthy, exemplary, reverent, and fruitful. And that's what we see in this chapter. Now, you might be saying, I'm still intimidated. That still doesn't help me, Jill. But that's why this is called in training. We're all in a process, and the Lord teaches us different things at different times in our Christian walk. And so we're all seeking after godliness. And I know that's why you're all here tonight, is you want to be an excellent wife. You want to be an excellent daughter of our King. You want to be an excellent mom, if that's where God's put you, or an excellent grandma. Some of you are at that place. And yeah. And so we keep all that in mind as we look through the material. That is the whole foundation of what we're doing. And so just to give you an update, since we even printed this for you, a couple little things to keep in mind. We're taking the name Saving Grace Bible Church off of the workbook. The elders have decided that it can be separate from the church. It doesn't have to come under, you know, every decision about the workbook made by the elders. So they are reading it, though, right now, just to verify that it all lines up with our statement of faith, because it does have my name on it. So that needs to reflect the church. So we're going to be crossing that out. I just wanted you to know that. The other thing is, we had a very good editor go over the whole text. However, in the back and forth between Whitney and Elena and I, we had a little confusion. And so you're going to be like, wait, didn't you say this was edited? What's wrong with this grammar? Or why are these words repeated? Or, you know, why is this theology wrong? Whatever it may be. I have to now go through the summer and figure out the clean copy and where it's at. And I totally take the blame for that. As I traced it back, I finally figured out what happened. And it's right here. So, let me see. If you haven't had a chance to read, you're going to have to go back and read. I'm going to have to start now from the assumption that you have pre-read, because a lot of you have, if you hadn't. So if you haven't, I might be a little bit in deep water, but should be pretty simple. We have the table of contents, which tells us 15 chapters, and then page 1 explains when this workbook started and the Excellent Wife in Training class we have at church. Technically, that was the first thing, and then the workbook, what the philosophy is, and then we have a letter to the younger women, so you can read that. And then we have a letter to the older woman who would be teaching the class, that Bev and I kind of put some stuff together on that, as she is our every single EWIT older woman. But we have a lot of different older women coming in on Wednesdays, so that's wonderful. And then we have a word to the group leader, which may or may not stay in this book. We're now, after doing this, I've decided we need a leader's guide. And so that might come out and be part of the leader's guide. We'll see. But that's just for an administrator, which is what Meg does. She administrates and organizes the Wednesday meetings. And for a long time, figured out what we're going to teach. And then on page 6 is where we're going to go next, and that is the pre-study meeting number 1. And so when a group gets together, this will be one of the first things they talk about, is a home management binder. And this is what we did the first week, over 2 years ago when we first started Excellent Wife. Now, your home management binder could, at this point, just be your binder with this information in it. But the idea came from just being well organized and how to do that. This is one that I bought online, actually, from, you'll see in the resources, flylady.net. Have you guys heard of the Fly Lady? All right, when I was in Seminary Wives 20-odd years ago, someone taught on one week how to stay on top of your home, how to clean it in an organized way, how to stay on top of your schedule, how to have all your numbers handy. This was pre-smartphone days, a long time ago. And so this is her little thing. It's called My Control Journal. And so this is all still online, and it just helps you, like, having a morning routine and how to do once a week cleaning. And so the other thing you can do is to put this in a binder like this, where you keep all your daily, weekly menu, cleaning, kids' chores, all that stuff together. So that's basically what this page talks about here. And the clear protectors, you can use a wet erase marker on them. So that's helpful for you to put in your weekly plan. Mine's not filled in because I have one I use for homeschool, and I keep my whole brain there. And then detailed cleaning lists, she has emergency stuff and meal planning. So we'll get to the meal planning and all that stuff later. But this is something you might want to just try. Maybe you're not very organized, and so we want to start with keeping these papers safe, and we'll get into in the coming chapters about chores with kids and meals and cleaning your house. And the all the chapters in this book have three sections. So if you wanted, you could separate them out into three different sections: the spiritual ones, the organizational ones, and the familial, the focus on the people in your home and how you're loving them. So that is the binder. And so originally I saw it at Fly Lady. And then it's also discussed in here. It's called the home management. I don't know if it's exactly home management binder. I don't know if we stole that or if that was, we twisted a little bit. But this is a fabulous book. I only wish that I had found it before I had a large family, because once you get to the point where you have a large family, you already are doing things to survive the chaos. And so I actually recommend this to moms that only have one or none or two to try to establish good ideas. Now, this book, we found out, is mainly online now. The information's online. And I don't have that written right here. We have that somewhere. If you want to know, she has a website. If you try to get this actual book, it's like astronomically priced. But I believe most of the information is online. And she has some really great ideas, including, you know, like keeping toys put away except for certain times. Just all kinds of detailed things. How to focus on different days of the week, the Lord's Day. So much. There's so much to do. One thing at a time. So again, I recommend this information starting early before you're into a lot of routines to stay on top of everything. So
what's the name of that book? Is it just Large Family?
Large Family Logistics. And then she has one that's smaller. I looked it up on Amazon by Kim Brenneman. It's called Home Management, Plain and Simple. And the reviews say that it's not as detailed as this one, but it's still super helpful. It could be a great bridal shower gift, or, you know, something for young ladies to get started with if they need help with home management. Any questions about the binder? Okay. So then we get to chapter one, which is called Laying the Foundation. Allow the Bible to be the grid through which you pour every other idea. And that reminds me again of our study of Proverbs, talking about how it helped us filter everything through that fine mesh screen of God's truth and wisdom. And so we have here on the left, you have the what. What is laying the foundation? And it talks about the importance of your time sitting under God's word every day, every week. So that comes to you in a lot of forms. It comes to you through listening, comes to you through studying, it comes from memorizing, it comes from iron sharpening iron, talking to each other. there any other ways you can think of where this comes in to your week? God's word?
Music?
Yes, that's right. See, I knew I was forgetting one. I just asked you guys what it was. What are some other ways? So, I like what Linda actually says. If you look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Linda Masella really pounds this. She says, you will do what is truly important to you. And when she taught on this a couple of years ago, she was talking about you might just need to give up more sleep. And for sleep-deprived moms, that's really hard to imagine. But we will choose to do what's most important to us. And I didn't always make the best decisions about this when I was a young mom. I did often choose sleep or staring at the wall or whatever it might have been. I've been super encouraged by you young moms here at this church who are really striving to study, to attend Bible study, to be being ministered to by the word in different avenues. And so the page on the left talks about the what of laying this foundation of studying the word, prayer, and just being filled with truth for the sake of godliness. And on the other page, it talks about how to. And so we have personal devotions, some reading and studying ideas, and prayer. But what are some things that you are doing? I know most of the time we feel like we're not doing enough. But what are some of the things that you are doing that is encouraging your heart or keeping you going from day to day? Who would like to share with us some things that are working for you?
One, I've used RefNet on the internet. And those times when you're doing little jobs that, you know, you can listen to something, and it plays everything from Alistair Begg to Valley of Vision to John MacArthur to, you know, and you can just pull that up. You can have it on your iPhone, pull it up on your iPad, computer, and tote it around with you and get fed the Word of God. And they do teaching series, so if you have a certain time every day, you can hit the same time. Noon is Valley of Vision. A lot of times I say stop. Chaos home. Let's listen to a read Valley Vision. If that doesn't kind of bring you back, you know.
It plays at certain times of the day?
It plays at noon is one of the times, and like 6, and they play El Molar. So instead of having to go to everything else, you know, Ligonier's put together that awesome resource.
What'd you say the address was?
RefNet.
Ref.
It's an app, and it's Ligonier Ministries, so you're in the Reformed ballpark, and you really get everybody. And you can look up, they go through teaching series on everything imaginable, you know,
great,
to all the preaching, and you don't have to have a radio or a, you know, you don't have to try to catch Joy FM at 10, whatever. And it plays 24 hours a day.
Good.
So that's one of those that and helps with my kids, you know. Anything's crazy. Okay, well, just listen to whatever's on right now.
Are things still as crazy for you?
No. Maggie's not too wild. But, you know, in times when there were four and whatnot, or if you need a Bible study, they have tons of white papers. You can print out the text and read it and go over it and mull over it. Maybe you only do one lesson, but study it for a week. You know, I love the read it every day, read the book of the Bible, just keep reading it over and over. A short one, start with that.
Yep.
It's a great foundation.
Let's work
and do it while you're nursing the baby. I read most of the Bible. I nursed my kids.
That's great. You know? You're like, I need to have one more kid so I can finish the Bible. That'd be a new motivation.
Right.
All right, someone else. What's working for you?
I listen to MacArthur 15 minutes before I go to work, and I drive to work, and then I'm ready to start my day.
Right.
Good. Anyone else? A Bible study or a reading plan. Bev, you've been reading through the daily MacArthur Daily Bible. How many years have you been doing that?
2 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I've done like gentle ones where you might underline different color for each year. Mm-hmm. So readings last year.
Yeah, it was sweet when we went to the Pastor Youngblood's house in Colorado. You know, their kids are all grown, and so they read it together every day. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I have to get a new one now because it was just falling apart, and it was so sweet. So that's a neat thing they're doing together as a husband and wife.
It takes about 15 minutes reading. You're reading the old, you're reading the old song, the old proverb, and then the new.
Yes.
Then you know what's coming though. And you're like, no, Solomon. It's the authorification, it's the sad
We did read through the Bible twice out loud with the kids over the years.
That's good.
And we just went straight forward with Genesis to Revelation one time. And then we did it chronologically another time where you jump around. It's kind of like MacArthur's reading thing. And the kids love that. They were just always so excited to get through because we make goals like, look, this will be a quarter. Well, you know, we mark the page. This will be half. We'll do something fun together. This will be.
That's so important.
You know?
Yeah.
And they were always so excited.
I love it.
I've been doing the. It's called Robert Murray McShay plan, but you can just look it up on like Bible Gateway. That's how I found it. But it sounds like it's the same thing because it's old and then Psalms and then Proverbs and Old and New Testament. But I kind of like that because you get a flavor of like the entire Bible, and then you don't get bogged down in something and you forget like the scope of Scripture. Yeah. So it helps you to like kind of tie everything together, like even as you're reading. Cause some of the stuff that I've read even the last like several weeks, like in Numbers.
Like, yeah, okay.
Leviticus. The Psalms, and then the New Testament, and you're like, okay, I get it. Like, it's showing the character of God. And so that's been a really good plan. Good.
I know a lot of you have done the partners one-on-one discipleship with others. Some of you are meeting with ladies. Prayer time. Some, you know, when you've got a lot of kids, it's when you can, in every moment when you need it.
Right.
Before the kids wake up, good time to be praying with the children, teaching them how to pray, and praying with your husband. There's all kinds of different ways. So the book gives you what we would say is a buffet of choices. This isn't, you must do all this to be doing it right. It's, here's a whole bunch of ideas. Find what works for you. And if you look here where it says personal devotions, there's a couple main questions. Are you a believer? If you are, then you should be desiring to be knowing your Heavenly Father more. And second is find a consistent place. And there's something about muscle memory. When you go to that place and your body just knows, this is what I do when I'm in this spot. And I cannot tell you how important that is. Because when we were living at my parents' for a couple weeks, I was just like, I felt lost. And here I'm trying to like teach Proverbs. I'm like, I don't know where to sit. And there were couches and chairs. But for some reason, I lost my spot. And I felt kind of lost there for a while. So Irina's sitting in my new spot. That's where I sit. Because I can see the sun come up. Because I'm usually up at that time. So don't underestimate muscle memory. It's a gift of the Lord to help you do things repetitively. And then keep what you use nearby. There's a table over there. It's where I keep my stuff. And find the best time of day to go to this spot and to learn from the Word. You could be doing it before the kids wake up in the morning. You could do it during a morning break. You could do it during nap time. I had a friend super diligent about doing during nap time every day, but my kids were like, you know, they wouldn't go to bed on time that day, or something was going on, or, you know, it was just a little too crazy for me. But some families, it works. And then there's ladies who kind of wake up around 9:30, 10 at night.
Yep.
That is a much better time for them to be studying God's Word. So there's no right or wrong on that one. Just find the best time of day. Now, I also used to highly, like, I have to do it when the kids are not up. I have to do it. And one of the things I love about Pam Forrester, who wrote Doorposts, is she's taking a new approach to it. She's saying, it's okay, you know, if the kids are up, just tell them what you're doing. Have them, you know, do something similar. And in her Bible studies, she gives a little idea of something for the kids to do that go along with your Bible study. And so I am going to talk about Doorpost stuff tonight, and it's really not a sale. It's because I love this stuff, and I did it in I did it a year ago at Excellent Wife, just because it's all about Scripture. And why reinvent the wheel? You know, because Pam's already done all the work. So what she does in here is she has a has ideas for what you should do with even your family, your kids around. And, you know, it's really such a brilliant idea, because sometimes then we sin because the kids are getting in the way of our Bible study time. Okay, maybe none of you thought that thought, but... So here she says, you should be able to have your children join right in on this assignment. You might want to read the chapter one time with them, or have them take turns reading it with you. Look for the, have them listen for the repeated words. Before you start reading the children, ask them to listen carefully for those repeated words. And when you finish, discuss what they noticed. Talk about how the Psalms are songs. What title would they give this song? Okay. So I really wish I would have thought about this. Kids were little. she has them on different chapters of the Bible, and then also on parenting. This is Child Training Boot Camp, which Lisa did as a little study for me. I haven't actually been through it myself. And you liked everything about it except the King James focused words, right?
Yes, but it's definitely like intense study, like word studies, and you have to utilize her. She directs you to that website.
Yeah, Blue Letter Bible.
Blue Letter Bible. Yeah. So it was definitely good for that. But I heard you just told me that she's coming out with like the ESV version of stuff on some of her stuff.
Well, she says in there you can use any version, so I don't know how that would work. I need to interact with her more. Yeah,
like,
most of the charts are all ESV now and not King James.
I've got that book for instruction in righteousness, and it's a good resource for sure, but I still go back and look it up in my own Bible, because I'm like, I'm not going to teach them this verse like this. Like, it's just, you know, because you want it to be, like, as accessible to your kids as possible. Like, this is the Bible that I read. We don't go to church and read, like, this archaic book, and then we just...
Chained to the pulpit.
You know, yeah, exactly, and it's not something we ever use in our everyday life. This is, like... Let there be a nice flow between what we hear at church and what we hear at home. And it's just like, these are God's words, but they're so, like, pithy, and just like they hit you right in the heart. They're not like anything you have to, you know, figure out. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, the ESV and the New American Standard are very similar. Mark preaches out of the New American Standard. We taught Proverbs out of New American Standard. But Kids for Truth doesn't come in New American Standard. So the kids are memorizing ESV on Wednesday nights. But it's very, very similar. So, I mean, you might see a word here or there, but not many. Because I was reading out of my new ESV Bible with Mark two Sundays ago. And I was like, well, there's only a word here or there.
Yeah.
So, not entirely sure why they reinvented the wheel on that one.
I've heard from expositors that it gets the Old Testament better sometimes.
Yes. Okay, good. Yeah. Good to know.
Expositors, wink, wink.
Okay, so that's your personal study time, and then some ideas. A lot of you are already doing great things, so these are just some selections. Reading a proverb a day, reading a psalm a day. Literally, this is 2 years of my intensive labor years Bible study. When I had 5 or 6 and I wasn't sleeping a lot, I would do this with the kids. Every morning we read a psalm or we read a proverb. For a whole year, I remember we did Proverbs, and a whole year we did Psalms, and that was besides the preaching, which I didn't always catch either because I was nursing or falling asleep, whatever it may have been. I'm not saying this is the example, but, you know, at least there was something. At least I had those moments with the kids where we were talking about the proverb, you know, and things you learn come back up, and it's great. And the Psalms also.
But we all need to know there's times like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember the 90s. You know, I was pregnant. I had 6 pregnancies in 8 years.
Yeah.
And nursing a baby, and you're pregnant and throwing up, you know? And that's what we did.
Don't remember the 90s.
And it went out, you know?
That's right.
I didn't watch TV.
Yeah, so if you are a you know, a busy young lady, but you have a little bit of time, and then you can be reading a chapter. John MacArthur highly encourages that. Take Ephesians, read it every day for a month. You will know it really well. And it's simple enough, and it's God's word, you know. So, I mean, you can do a study that guides you if you have a little bit more time, but if it's just a chapter a day or a small book a day, or even the daily Bible, 15 minutes, she's saying, if you need a place to start, just do it. Right. We'll go with the Nike. Right. So, and then ideas for prayer. Another important foundational discipline that we all do need to work on. But if you stop and think about it, you might pray a little bit more than you think. But if you need ideas, you can turn the page. And there's ideas on how to, you know, like what to read every day. We talked about that on the top card. I love that Elena made these little index card images. They're amazing. And then at the bottom, though, there's a prayer card sample. And it's kind of neat because I even this morning I was thinking, Bev's praying for me today because I know I'm on her Monday card. And it's so sweet. It's so sweet to remember that. And so this is an idea of how to make cards where people give you a prayer request, or just people that you constantly come in contact with, and you spread them out on your cards so that you have someone, things that you're praying for every day. And so this Saturday one, this says children. If you have a lot, that may not work, but or it's for your future children or your grandchildren.
Can I add to that?
Yes, please.
I prayed for a different child each day. Mm-hmm. And I got that from Elizabeth Elliott's mother. Mm-hmm. Prayed for a different child. And like Wednesday is pretty full because it's not only Joel, but Hope and baby Jude. So that, and that way you can just sincerely focus on whatever's going on in their lives with scripture prayer or whatever. So like Monday through Thursday is because I have four children. Mm-hmm. I've done that forever too. Because I don't know, just putting them all on one day is just overwhelming sometimes.
Yes.
I'll skip one. Oh, yeah, that one's doing fine.
I pray for each one today. Dan and I take turns playing for, like, I'll pray for the girls one night, and he'll pray for the boys, and then they'll switch it the next night. So that works, too. Yeah.
That way you know God's sure to answer.
Yeah. At least one of
them. But I think a praying for your church, something we've done is made up a notebook in all 31 days, putting church members' names throughout the month, so you can pray for your my brothers and sisters and see them.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
All right, and then another idea for your buffet of choices is just to know the Acts prayer style, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication or requests for others and yourself. And then you can even pray the word, pray through a psalm. You can sing, all those different things, just helping keep your mind and your heart saturated on the truth. So anything else about the foundational chapter? Okay. So you also, I just wanted to mention just making goals, and that goes along with chapter 2, is making goals for yourself. I love the phrase because it's so true. If you aim for nothing, you're sure to hit it. So make goals. You know, what do I want to do? What do I want to have studied by December? Or, you know, I love New Year's resolutions just because having a new year gives us that reminder to make goals. And so keep that in mind from the chapter 1 and chapter 2. Are there some spiritual goals I can make? And there was a gal I was in Seminary Wives with, and she made one goal every month, because you might think, there's 500 things for me to work on, especially as we go into chapter 2 here. She, one goal a month. It's totally doable. And for your kids, one goal of something you're working on with them a month, although with some of them it might be this goal this year. If we could just get them to sit in the chair this year, that'd be good. But goals are a great tool, so keep that in mind. Spiritual disciplines. Yeah.
EWIT has, it's Elena's actually, website.
Excellent. Wife and Training.
One January, you did a really neat article. Is it in that?
Yeah, it's still online.
It's
So that's a, I like what you did. I printed it. I'm a paper girl. Yes. I printed it out. It's really good.
Thanks for that reminder.
The whole thing.
Yep, New Year's, making New Year's resolutions.
That's it.
But you can do that any time of year, so don't wait till January. Jay Adams says, the word discipline has disappeared from our minds, our mouths, our pulpits, and our culture. Do you agree with that? And he wrote that a long time ago. Jay Adams is not a spring chicken. Discipline, where do you see it mostly in our world? Where is it most encouraged? In the gym. Exactly. And I love that even in Paul's day, he wrote, bodily discipline is of little profit. Back in Rome, he was writing that. So the word discipline has disappeared from our minds, our mouths, our pulpits, and our culture. We hardly know what discipline means in modern American society. And yet there is no other way to attain godliness. Discipline is the path to godliness. You must learn to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And so maybe because you are in America, you already are like tensing up inside that we're talking about discipline. How many of you were there when Mary taught on discipline? Lisa? Were you there?
Spiritual disciplines of the Christian.
Oh, I was thinking about a couple weeks ago. But yeah, we did the Bible study. When did she say? In 2000? 13 maybe? Okay, but who was there a couple weeks ago on Wednesday?
In the 1 Timothy 4, 7.
Yeah, I was there.
Okay.
So two of you? Okay. I loved what she wrote, and I'm going to make this a, it's not Mary, actually. I love what she quoted from Elizabeth Elliot, who has a book, and I forgot to bring it out, but it's called Discipline, the Glad Surrender. It's like carrying it around all day. Now I don't have it. But she talks about freedom in discipline. And Mary said, can anyone explain that? And no one's, I was listening to the audio and it was like silent crickets. And then she explained it. And I'm sure everyone who was there was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. So I love this. She says, freedom and discipline have come to be regarded as mutually exclusive, when in fact, freedom is not at all the opposite, but the reward of discipline. So while stressing that freedom requires discipline, let us not forget to emphasize that discipline rewards us with freedom. So actually it was Mary's words, now that I think about it. She was talking about how when you're learning to play the piano, how do you learn? Discipline, practice. But then once you're a master, you don't even think about it. You're just playing, you know, and you don't even think twice about it. There's freedom. You see someone play the piano so freely. And so that's the idea of when you are disciplining yourself for the purpose of godliness, it becomes second nature. It's even sitting down in your spot to study the Bible. It becomes, this is what I do, and you just start doing it. And so I love that idea. There's freedom in the spiritual discipline. So as you look at these ideas, you want to keep that in mind. As I do these things, and they're empowered by the Holy Spirit through faith, and they're done as an act of worship to God, I find freedom in that, not drudgery. So I love that thought. I'd like you to label on this page here, page 16. I think it needs some titles. As I was listening to Mary teach it, so that's what this pilot study is about, is figuring out what changes we might need to make. So at the very top, it above the first paragraph, it should say, what are spiritual disciplines? So it's the what, and this is the what page that we have in every chapter. But then when you get down to as believers, the third paragraph, that more needs to be labeled, this is the motivation. There was some confusion there about the fruit of the Spirit, and so I want to highlight that this section here is, what is our motivation behind the spiritual disciplines? What is the power behind it all? And often our motivation is our reward. It's the prize at the end. Again, if you want to hear about our prizes and rewards biblical, yes, the Proverbs talk a lot about the reward of pursuing truth and walking in godliness. And so this next section is about the motivation And then the last paragraph just is going to go along with the how-to. So I just wanted you to separate that out. So in 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 12, which is that big chunk of scripture you see there in the second paragraph, this is our purpose, that we in 1 Timothy 4, 7 are disciplining ourselves for the purpose of godliness. I want you to underline in the second sentence or second line the word nourished. That is a key word in this passage. We are to be nourished, fed by the word of God, the words of faith and sound doctrine. So that's you studying it, listening to it, talking to other people about it. And then we see in the third line, have nothing to do with worldly fables. That's what we're surrounded by. That's the news. That's our culture. It's worldliness. It's not, you know, when you think of fables, sometimes you think of like Mother Goose. Don't think that when you read this. Just think the message that the world is trying to teach you. So worldliness. And then the next line, on the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. You might want to underline that there in the middle. And then it goes on to talk about laboring, striving, how, fixing our hope on the living God. That's what the spiritual disciplines, their purpose is. And then it even, Paul even says, prescribe and teach these things. Was that only written to the pastors? Ladies? Are they the only ones that should be teaching the word of God? No. You're talking to your sisters in Christ about it. You're interacting with your husband about the truth. You're talking, teaching your children. If it comes up in church, you're saying yes to the opportunity to spread the word of God. Sunday school, you know, wherever it is that God puts you, you are to pass on what you learn about the truth that you have disciplined yourself to learn. And then it's shown in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. You are to be an example. So it starts with the roots of laying the foundation. First chapter, laying the foundation, that's the roots of the tree planted by streams of water that grows to make the beautiful oak tree of maturity. It's a picture of maturity there in Psalm 1 of a tree of a life planted next to the streams of water, God's word. So when that happens, then you should be able to teach others also, whether it's God allows you to teach your children or other women or children. And then our motivation is the next section, and it talks about wanting to be Christ-like, dying to self, living in love. I'm just summarizing. And when we are disciplining ourselves and walking in love, there is the production of good fruit that proves what's going on down in the root section. So it's not spiritual disciplines to have the fruit of the Spirit, but it is the reward. It is the outflow of what's going on down in your roots, down in your foundation. And so then we see, if you look in Philippians 2:13, it says, for God is at work to will and to do for his good pleasure. God is the one sanctifying you, growing you, challenging you, the women he puts around you, the preaching that you hear. There are choices in some of that, but sometimes you have to bloom where you're planted. You have to interact with those around you. I was never so challenged by women in studying the word until I came to this church. Like, I was around women, we talk about whatever, but it was not at all like it is here. This is very unique. And I was in good churches. Maybe I just wasn't in the right circle. I'm not sure. But those sometimes are choices you make, and sometimes who God puts around you. And sometimes you might be around people that all they do is talk about scripture, and you're like, oh, I just want to, can we talk about something else? And then you have to tell yourself, no, that is the primary thing I need to talk about. Those are the primary things. I need to be challenged. I don't want to stay in this comfort zone. I want to keep growing, keep learning about God. And so that is the power behind it, and then the reward, the fruit that grows. And that comes from longing like newborn babes for the pure milk of the word, that you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3. So, did someone say my name? Oh, Janet?
Philippians 2, 13.
Philippians 2:13 is God is at work to both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It's right here. You see it in that paragraph. It's not quoted, but it's just referred to. So what are the spiritual disciplines that we can be involved in? And we did study Donald Whitney's book a couple years ago. It's very thorough, but just so you know, I didn't want to copy exactly what he said. So I had to change it up a little bit. And so this is not exhaustive, but I put in here memorization and some ideas on how to help you memorize. And there is a book by, I believe her name is Janet Pope. Yep, it's in here in the references. His Word in My Heart. And there is a audio on women's Bible study, I believe, where we taught about memorizing the Word of God. And that book was super helpful. You can even go, she has like a 30-day sample of what to do, how to review. Super helpful. It was so sweet because my Sarah came to me the other day and she's like, "We ordered this book." I was like, we have two of those books. This is great. Here's one. So I was super excited because I knew that meant she and her friend want to challenge each other to memorize scripture. That's wonderful. So that's a good place to start too. If you have no idea how to memorize, she's very hold your hand. Accountability partners. Unbelievable. Question? Yes.
I use scripture memorization as part of like our discipline because they do have older boys.
Uh-huh.
And they're a little too big for the rod.
Uh-huh.
And I feel that it's not, I don't want them to have a bad relationship with memorizing scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that point?
Yeah, I don't think
the doorposts and
that it shouldn't necessarily be a problem. I mean, when you consider what did teachers used to do, they would make you write it 100 times on the board.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that from Titus 2, from Terry.
Uh-huh. She had her kids memorize.
I think she did a lot of Bible copying.
Yes. Which instructions in righteousness is, that's what people will use to get, what are the verses for this sin issue? So you could have the kids copy them out if you saw they were struggling with the memorization. Or memorize it, because they
you
won't
don't
forget
think
it.
Would be a bad association when they're older, like.
Well, are you doing it in a positive context
yes.
too? So, yeah. And if you're talking, this is why I'm having you memorize this. This is where you're struggling with this. This is God's word. It's the best answer I have for you, and you will remember this verse every time you encounter this sin in your life. I mean, I almost wish my parents had had me memorize verses with every sin.
Right.
So, but yeah, as long as you have it in a positive context and they understand that whole picture, then.
I'd just like to say it may not always be positive in the moment, but like I have a teenage son, and when he's got a consistent pattern of being unloving towards like a particular sibling or something and not repenting on it, he'll even at these ages, he's 17 now, so not so much now, but even at a couple years ago, we were having him copy the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, like over and over, sometimes several times. And now he knows it by heart, the whole thing, and it's like, he is like, it's kind of a joke, sort of now, like he laughs about it, and he has a special relationship with that chapter now, looking back. Yeah, like that's his chapter.
Don't we all have some special relationships with some chapters? I love that phrase.
He's getting sour into it, he's kind of, you know.
Okay, that's what I was concerned, am I souring them to, you know, not have a craving for the word in the future?
Right.
Keep it up. Keep asking the questions. Okay, so I was just saying having an accountability partner is the best thing for me as far as memory. If you have self-motivation, then thank the Lord for it and get busy memorizing. But otherwise, you might need a partner. When I was learning it to teach it at church, we did all of 3 John. And every Sunday, I knew I had to have 2 more verses to recite with Meg. And so it was like, okay, I got to get this ready. And it was super helpful. And find someone who's good at being an accountability partner. And I even wrote on this last one here on the top of page 17. This is a great way to memorize the verses from Wise Words for Moms charts. That's a cheap little chart that we hung in our bathroom where we did our discipline that helped us get to the root of the kids' sin. And it was full of verses. It's like the if-then chart by doorposts. So you might want to memorize those verses with a friend so that you can both be working on being more scriptural mommies together.
They do have a phone app too, just in case.
Yeah. There is.
And you can
are you talking about the one with?
There's
several different ones. There's one with like games on it that was super helpful for me, where it like takes away words and you have to fill them in.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of it at the moment, but it really worked.
I like it when your kids try to erase that verse.
Yeah, so now you can do it on an app, of course.
No, I mean our chart. Ours were paper in front of
me. Oh, yeah.
So I'll bring mine. It has holes in it where certain ones are erased.
Well, we had a rod thrown in the trash can, so. They will do what they can.
They try to help you.
Oh, yeah. So some of the other things we have written down here, and you, most of you should have read it. If not, you can read it later. But we have evangelism, being willing and ready to share your faith. If you don't know what you're going to say, it's not going to be handy. If you don't have the tracks in your purse, they're not going to come out for that person at Target. Yeah. Whatever it may be. Business cards for the church are super helpful to have in your purse. My parents ran into someone at Panera, and my dad's like, needed the business card. You know, he's like trying to give him all the information he can.
With Dr. Mark Rand.
For business cards and bulletins, he said, that's all that's for. And brothers, he added. So being prepared for evangelism. Solitude, that's spending time alone with the Lord, we need to stop and think. The world is loud, and we need to go to God's word to read what he has said for us. Fasting, there are some points there about that spiritual discipline. Journaling, some of us are better at this than others. Some of us, it is a serious discipline. Some of you, it is a joy, and your heart just spills out. And so making the time to do that. Stewardship of time, money, belongings, spiritual gifts, all those things. Learning and growth. So all the different things that you can do for learning and growing. Donald Whitney calls it Bible intake and so forth. And also in this area, learning and growth, the last point on page 18 at the top says, have older women and your husband help you see areas you can be working on. So discipleship, having a Titus 2 relationship with an older woman, or if you're an older woman, having that relationship with younger women. If you have daughters, that's a natural thing, but also meeting with women in the church to pass on what the Lord has taught you. That is a command in Titus chapter 2, for the older women to be an example and to be teaching the younger women. Worship, and then even church. For some people, this is a discipline to be there, to be attending. So it's really like a basic, it's like the most basic thing right there, but I added that on there. And then here are some memorization suggestions. This first little part was kind of a gift from Mary. She jotted this down as an example. Do you worry a lot? Memorize Philippians. Do you get angry easily? James. Do you tend to want to control everything? Look to Romans. Do you lack discipline? Is actually supposed to say 1 Timothy 4. Just so you know. It just kind of kept going there, the Romans. And then you could memorize a chapter of the Bible. And there's some key chapters that people have memorized. When I was a young mom and struggling because of my lack of Bible intake and my roots were starved and the fruit was shriveling up, I came across Romans 12, don't remember how, and it just really ministered so deeply to my heart, the things that I needed to be focusing on. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. What's that?
The word abhor.
Yeah.
You miss that a lot when we read it.
Abhor, hates. Yep. Yeah. So I have that one in there because it was phenomenal for me. 2 Peter 1, 1 Corinthians 13. Kim was just talking about that, the love chapter. Colossians 3, Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Proverbs 31. So those are some chapters for a starting place. Or a whole book. Third John is a pretty good one. Titus, Philemon, Colossians. So all examples, start small, get a partner, or your husband, or your children, do it with your children, do it to music. So those are just some extra ideas for the spiritual discipline of memorization. And then if you look, we have a area here for more resources, and you'll notice this section, there are a ton of like different subjects, but they're all for different things that have to do with spiritual disciplines, depending on where you are at. So we have the Christian life, being a godly woman, on worship, scripture memory, from Susan Heck and Janet Pope, discipleship, the great little tiny booklet by Susan Heck. If you bite and devour one another, Alexander Strauch has some fabulous books, from hospitality to love and to how we treat one another in the church. And this book, If You Bite and Devour, is we're going to be doing for Bible study next year. So there's your little heads up. What's that?
I was wondering.
We read that book for women's Bible study 4 springs ago and loved it so much we want to do it again. So you might want to get that between now and September if you don't already have it. There's a little tiny booklet by Lou Priolo. I call them those little daggers that punch us in the heart. Faithfulness, he has one. Hospitality by Ennis and Tatlock. Also Alexander Strauch has one. Telling the Truth is about evangelism. We've got Holiness, the Plan for the Church, and Life in the Father's House. So how are you to approach church? Why do we go to church? What are we supposed to be doing there? Fundamentals of the Faith is a workbook. Partners is a workbook. And then Spiritual Disciplines, which if you listen to Mary's message on this chapter, is mainly what she used, because she did teach that several years ago. So she's got that up in her head. So that is the overview of the intro and the first 2 chapters. And next week, when you come back, we're going to be focusing more, very intently, on love your husband. Who's teaching that next week? I forget. Bev? So the again, the point is for you to pre-read the what, the how-to, the worksheet, do your homework. That is writing down all this stuff about your husband. Do you know these things about him? He's going to love that you ask him all those questions. And then there's some resources on the last page. But I also wanted to just highlight again, there's Bible studies and scripture tools for parenting, which is what's over on those tables, and it's not, I'm happy to answer questions about them. It's not a push or anything. I just have them, and I'm mailing them back this week. So if you want to look at any of that, it's so helpful. Every one of those tools, you know, one at a time really helps get started. But I forgot to bring in the picture, but the woman who created these, Pam Forrester, I got to, I kind of stalked her. And I've never done that in my life. But I've got my first chart from Mark's aunt before Sarah was like walking, and held on to it till we started schooling, because it was about diligence and work. And so now, 18 years later, I was going to be in her neck of the woods, and I asked her if I could come meet her, and it was phenomenal. She's very quiet, actually, very just an introverted lady, and but we were surrounded by her family. And just had a sweet time. I asked her about how she even, she has 6 kids. Like, how in the world did she do that? Because I'm looking at the workbook, and I'm like, I don't know what the Lord's going to do. How did you know? And she said she didn't sleep well when she was pregnant and with her girls. So, and her boys had caused her to seek the word of God. And so she would write at night when she couldn't sleep, or in the car traveling. And just her saying, I was like, oh, I could be redeeming time in a car. Of course, I was on a 3-week car trip, too. It's a little bumpy to read, but I'm just picturing her in the car just writing stuff instead of surfing on her smartphone like we tend to do. So that was convicting. And then, you know, there comes a point where she now has deadlines and producing books for publishers. And so, you know, the Lord called her to that, and it's like, why reinvent the wheel? She did all that work. So I'd love for you to look it over, because I love it. And any other questions anybody has about these subjects, comments?
I will say we used almost all of our materials too. I mean, not the newest stuff, I don't have, but
yeah,
it was in all the families that I looked up to, they were using her materials.
Yeah, she started, the first thing is the if-then chart. I call it the parent consistency chart, because I had it up in the kitchen so that as soon as they, you know, sinned, which was frequently, I reminded myself what I had promised so that my yes was yes and my no was no, and the kids knew where the lines were and what the consequences were. And after she wrote that, she wrote the blessings chart, because she wanted to reward them and recognize when the kids did what was right. And it just went on from there.
Well, I loved how when you lived in Northport and I saw the if-then chart, I'm like, whoa, Jason would have benefited from this. But
right?
I loved how you put specific things there. If you do this, then this is a consequence.
That's right.
Yes.
And isn't that a lot of how the Proverbs was written too? You know, it's a biblical model as well. We even had specific children. Some specific children got different consequences.
Right, that's what I mean. You specified it to the different children. That's
yes.
Right.
If you were Leah, you get one spanking. If you were Gabe, you get 10.
But our children said it was very freeing. As we said before, when you know what's expected of you, and you know that mom and dad are going to fall through. I hung it right on the refrigerator to make me as accountable as them. Mm-hmm. And I loved Susanna Wesley as well. You never discipline the same thing twice. So you had to get up. You didn't wait to the third warning. They knew it was a one-time deal.
You had me all excited about the teaching obedience chapter.
Yep. And they tell people now. I mean, we love that our parents, they were first-time parents. You know, I told them, I never did this before.
Because it's
I
love.
Need this help.
You're showing love. Yeah.
And we're not going to tease you. We're not giving you a bunch of warnings, because that's just wrong. You don't know when to obey. Or when I love you. Is it after I finish my coffee? Before I have my coffee? You know? After my show is over, you catch ourselves up.
When I love you, exactly.
I love you right now, I always said.
That's fabulous.
I love them. They help you, though. I love everything from them.
All right, any other questions or comments? I'm sorry, tonight was like... But we'll be more focused in the other weeks, and we get to... Bev and Lynn Masella and Cheryl, and Edie's going to come teach, and Linda Bailey. So, and that's, if you didn't get the email, then let me know. I'll send that to you, and it has that that detail in it, too. So. Yes, Amber?
What kind of feedback are you wanting from us for the pilot study? Like, what do you...
So is it helpful, you know, like for you guys, it's more like in the next week, you know, as you go from here tonight and you're thinking about what we talked about, what you read. So instead of just like going off and changing and growing, let me know. Talk to me about it. Send me an email, text me, whatever, you know. Pony Express, I don't care. So that's helpful, because... if you notice, when we have like Bible study at church, it's a little bit more chatty and excellent wife on Wednesday mornings. Maybe the smaller the group, the more people feel comfortable. But if you notice, like in the big group, I'm like, someone want to answer the question? Answer, ask, keep asking your questions, Amber, keep doing it. Because then it just helps clarify, is this material clear? Is it helpful? Does it help you grow or think or any of those things? And then mainly from the teachers, I'm getting, how did it work for you? How did you interact? How much did you have to add? So it's kind of two different corners. Yeah. All right. Cheryl, will you close in prayer first?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gathering of this women and this curriculum and the ability to apply your word to our lives, Lord, not just read it. Let us absorb it and look through our biblical glasses or our biblical filter and see the world the way you want us to see it. And may we obey and enjoy the freedom that gives us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.